This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hits. Happy to be celebrating my birthday. I'm David Gao, the boss. I'm sitting next to Carla Dawson, the gloss. Catherine Dawson in studio with us and Ron Culver behind the glass.
She's mini gloss.
Yes, she's mini gloss. A little sad note, though, the passing today of Dwight Clark. He, the great 49er legend known for the catch, the great NFC Championship catch from Joe Montana over the hands of Everson Walls. Dwight Clark passing today. He dealt with Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, really tough battle.
Dwight Clark. Let's hear the audio.
Third and three. We'll see a pick of some kind on the right side, possibly. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. Caught it! Dwight Clark!
An amazing moment. You know, it's interesting if you go back
would
and watch.
Would have been Dallas' sixth Super Bowl,
oh,
right?
Oh, man. The Cowboys have been on the great run. They were the dominant team in the NFC. That was the game that turned the tide in favor of the 49ers.
Do you know what Eddie DeBartolo, the owner of the San Francisco 49ers, did? About a month and a half ago, brought back all his old teammates to the ranch to honor Dwight Clark and be with him. He took them out to a spot on the ranch. He had the goal posts from that game.
Amazing.
So that Dwight Clark could see his moment of glory.
Well, he left this world surely filled with a lot of love because it was expressed to him from the fans at a great moment where they celebrated his career at the stadium during the season. And then, of course, he
this
was
past
the,
year at Levi's
yes,
Stadium.
Yes, this past season. And then, of course, he was at the ranch where he got to be with his teammates and say goodbye to them each. And it was notable when most of those teammates said goodbye to him. I think in the air they understood that was their final goodbye.
That's exactly right. Oh, what a sad time.
Dwight Clark, one of the class acts on and off the field. We salute Dwight Clark and his impact on the 49ers and in the NFL generally.
And may he rest in peace.
Indeed he will. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I would say that Ron Culver is showing a lot of range today. You know, Marilyn Monroe's over 40 years ago. I don't know where this guy came from, but he sounds pretty good.
Give us the background on this one, Ron. I like this. Thank you, lucky star. He's not going to tell us.
All right, but here's a question on the table. Warriors.
I had to put my ears in. I'm sorry. That way I can talk to you guys.
He's not listening to us?
He tuned us out.
I don't ever listen to
Carl
the show.
Carl asked you a question, and you weren't even paying attention.
You're right. I don't listen to the show.
Oh, well, that makes us feel better.
I feel like I'm home now.
Don't you want that in a producer?
Yeah, that's a good
trait.
To
not listen to your show?
No,
this is
that's
Louis
why
Jordan.
You never critique us. You don't listen.
Exactly. Hmm. Well, so I can't be wrong.
Who was that?
Louis Jordan.
That was Louis Jordan.
You guessed it.
Yes.
I've got such a smart boss.
Personally,
goodness.
I preferred the Marilyn Monroe, but that's another matter. I went home and took a cold shower. Thank you, Ron.
Anytime, boss.
All right, speaking of cold showers, LeBron James, Cavaliers fans, there's been some noise about the officiating in the NBA championship. Game one, the big call, of course. It was overturned after review. The charge or non-charge with Kevin Durant. You're not sympathetic to the notion that the officials are siding toward the Warriors.
I am not. As defending champs,
yes,
you should be getting so many more calls. And you know what? Good for the officiating that it's not really that way. I mean, it's going to change when they go to Cleveland because LeBron is Jesus in the NBA. You can't touch him. You can't look at him. So he's honestly not used to getting fouls. And don't you find this fascinating, David? He's never injured. Do you ever see blood drawn on LeBron? Well, now he's got a funky eye, but no one's allowed to touch him.
Well, you never see him on the ground. He doesn't hit the ground
ever.
Much.
So there you go. So well, I don't want to hear that.
Earlier in the playoffs, calls have gone the Cavaliers' way. These things do have a tendency to even out.
If anyone should be complaining about the officiating, which, you know, you can't. You get fined pretty heavily in the NBA. Should be the Indiana Pacers, who had the Cavaliers on the brink. And due to a missed goaltending call on the King himself, which, you know, the next day when they can look at the last two-minute report, do the two-minute report, they say, yeah, we missed the call.
A big call.
Indiana should be the ones that moved on,
right?
Not the Cavaliers. So I don't really want to hear that from LeBron because we talked about this earlier. You've got talent, and then you've got to have some luck on your side. And sometimes things go your way, and sometimes they don't. The Cavaliers are lucky they're there. And I think you saw it, you witnessed it in the Boston series.
Yeah, I think in the Boston series, what was notable to me is, look, it's so hard to guard LeBron.
Oh.
And the Celtics threw a number of guys at him. Well, certainly Jaylen Brown was out there. They had other guys were trying, and they would be in his face, and there would
Jason
be contact.
Tatum.
But, yes, it seemed like there were some quick calls made against the Celtics defenders.
And LeBron, because he's seasoned and because he is so good, he can draw fouls even when there's not one.
Yep.
I mean, let's say if anyone has any complaining to do, it might be the Golden State Warriors when Draymond got suspended from a beautiful flop from LeBron and cost them a championship.
Duly noted.
LeBron's got you got to keep playing.
All right.
Can't
on the topic of LeBron, already people are speculating where he will go, particularly after the game one loss. The thought was, well, there's no way LeBron's going to return. I mean, after the heroic game one he had with 51 points, J.R. Smith blows it. LeBron's out. He's going. He's not going to return to Cleveland. And it is interesting, Las Vegas has come to the conclusion that LeBron is leaving. When you look at the odds of the teams who will make it to the championship series next year, Cleveland has fallen. I mean, they are 30-1 long shots to make it to the finals or the championship series. The Warriors, of course, number one, Rockets two, but the number three team, the 76ers. 76ers favored better than the Celtics. And notably, of course, the Celtics beat the 76ers this playoff series, and the Celtics have Hayward and Irving coming back. Yet the 76ers are favored ahead of the Celtics. I think in Vegas, the consensus is LeBron's going to Philadelphia.
That's the whole reason they're favored.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you like that for the league? Do you like it for LeBron? Is that the choice? I mean, there are other teams. The Lakers have rumored. The Rockets are out there. LeBron, if he leaves Cleveland, he's going to land somewhere. And 76ers are in the Eastern Conference, which enables him a easier path to the finals.
Oh, he'll definitely stay away from the West. Yeah. He doesn't miss a beat.
Well, okay, in the Eastern Conference, well, what do you got? I mean, you got to go to the 76ers, right?
Or return to
Cleveland.
Right. Right. He's not going to return to Cleveland. You know, what's interesting to me about the Cleveland situation is that, you know, everyone's complaining is LeBron drops 51. He doesn't have enough support around him. Well, the number two scoring option on the Cavs right now is Kevin Love. And then there's, you know, these new pickups that they got. You know, I mean, well, J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, who we know what they've done in this series. But look at the starting roster of day one of the 2017-2018 season. Who's on that roster? Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, LeBron James, Kevin Love. They've got what looks like a Warriors type of starting roster right there with that star power. Then you've got Isaiah's hip injury. Now, that was unfortunate, but he did end up coming back. But both of them, Dwayne Wade and Isaiah Thomas, left.
Yep.
Didn't want any more part of this.
Yep.
So you can't really feel sorry for LeBron and want to give him a hug. And that's why I keep seeing this headline. I want to give LeBron a hug, feeling so bad. Don't feel bad for him. He's part of the reason that these guys don't want to stay.
Well, and Kyrie Irving before them. So
he was smart to get out in the offseason.
Interesting thing, though, with the 76ers, they may be looking for a new general manager as well.
Well, that's right.
If Colangelo gets fired over the tweet scandal, Tweetgate, as it is. So if he goes, the 76ers could almost work out an arrangement where they go to LeBron and say, look, you're not going to be the general manager, but we're going to get a general manager who is suitable to your liking.
Oh, you are so right. He can kind of help to hand pick.
He handpicks the GM, and then he comes, and you surround him with Simmons and Folk and Embiid, and all of a sudden.
That is formidable.
It is the 76er LeBrons.
Because he has GM experience in Cleveland.
Well, it would seem. I mean, he's certainly taken that team down to the studs and rebuilt it, albeit not a team that's going to win a championship this year, it looks like.
The 76ers look, I can see it. I can see it, absolutely.
Yeah. I do too, and they're the one team, when you put LeBron on there, that really should challenge the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. Celtics will be the favorite, barring LeBron's arrival in Philadelphia.
And assuming that Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving get back to full strength.
Yep. And every indication thus far is that Hayward is now moving around quite well. Irving's procedure was not a big procedure.
Right.
It was just sort of clean up an infection around a previous procedure. The silver lining for the Celtics was that with Irving out and with Hayward out, those two young guys, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, got minutes, they got time, they got valuable experience.
And they got moxie.
They got moxie.
Jason Tatum staring down LeBron.
You like that?
I loved it.
Yes.
I thought, you know what? And that was, you know, there's a picture that I don't know if you've seen it. When LeBron first came into the league and Jason Tatum was like 6 years old, standing with the legend, Tatum is smiling from ear to ear. And here he is as a 19-year-old, you know, in the playoffs, bumping him and staring him down after a slam down. I thought, wow,
yes.
That's cool.
And of course, Tatum is a guy who grew up when he was playing in AU, playing in Little League. He was growing up admiring and worshiping LeBron. Everybody did at that age.
I mean, would you ever think as a little boy that you're going to be on the same court as him and that you're able to, wow, I just think that's cool.
Yep.
That's a dream.
Good development for the Celtics.
And I think LeBron appreciates that.
Well,
not at the moment, but just kind of like, hey, how?
It was a neat moment after the series. He did go up to the rookie and say, hey, you're on a good track. Keep your head down. Keep working.
Right. He appreciates it.
All right. When we come back, we're going to shift gears totally. First time ever in the history of the Boston The Gloss, we're going to talk soccer. We're going to talk the World Cup, and we're going to talk to one of the foremost experts on the World Cup. He is the great Glenn Davis when we return on the Boston The Gloss.
It's your birthday. You have to do nothing.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, can anybody tell me who is singing Happy Birthday to Me Now? Who is that?
I don't know, but you have turned down the lights and pulled in a shag rug. It's getting a little weird in here.
Oh, my gosh, that strobe light in the corner. It's fantastic. A little mood from you, Ron. Hey, listen, you know, we're talking about my birthday, but Father's Day is coming up on June 17th, and I need you to stop by O'Reilly's Auto Parts, where you'll find gift cards and hundreds of great Father's Day gifts, from tools to air compressors and flashlights. O'Reilly's Auto Parts has exactly what he wants at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is a real treat. He is Glenn Davis. He is one of the foremost experts on all things soccer and all things World Cup. Glenn, welcome into the show.
Well, David, first of all, I got to say, I'm a little nervous here being interviewed by the boss. Second of all, a very happy birthday to you, and thanks to you and Carla for having me on the show.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And yes, I am the boss. You just better not blow it today. I'm in a high stakes interview.
I know. I just got very nervous here. All
right.
Pressure's on, Glenn, but we know you can do it. I'm rooting for you.
I'm going to fight through it, though. Even if I make a mistake, I plow forward.
Absolutely.
That's right. All right. Well, Glenn, we're just thrilled to have you on the eve of the World Cup. Would love to hear what you think of the big storylines heading into the World Cup.
Yeah, I know everybody's upset that the United States didn't qualify, but there are incredible storylines going into this. Today, the final rosters were put out. There were players like Leroy Sané of Germany left off teams that people were just stunned and shocked as these coaches are putting teams together. I think some of the interesting things to think about here, a lot of the traditional nations always the Argentinas, the Spains, the Germanys, the Brazils are always expected to be the favorites in this thing with all the superstars, Brazil and Neymar. And, of course, Portugal's got Ronaldo, Messi with Argentina. People want to see him lift the World Cup with Argentina. But I think what we got to remember is the uniqueness of this event. It's every 4 years. Indelibly, things will happen from players from countries that are not going to be on the tips of our tongues before this. Somebody from Iceland or Australia or Morocco or Saudi Arabia or Costa Rica is going to do something that's going to make them a national hero for the rest of their lives. So the impact globally and the impact in singular countries, whether it's Costa Rica, Germany, it doesn't matter, Korea, significant moments mean a lot to countries. And that may not mean even winning a game. It may mean scoring a goal against a perennial World Cup champion. So the storylines are thick and heavy. They're all over the place. Players getting left off, players fighting injury to try and get ready for a World Cup, but you got more storylines than you could ever ask for.
So let me ask you this, Glenn. So winning consecutive World Cups has only been done twice since the inaugural tournament, which was Brazil and Italy. Can Germany continue their dominance and be the third team? And then with Germany, is Thomas Müller the German stabilizing force yet again?
I like these questions. Well, absolutely, Germany can. They have the depth. They also have the country that I think around the world has the best player development system, and it's all woven into their national team, straight down to all the pro teams and their pro league, which is called the Bundesliga. Here in the United States, we have a very fractured youth setup in this country, and it's based on the exchange of dollars in a lot of cases, and it hurts us at the youth level. But absolutely they can. They have depth beyond belief that they can leave a player like Leroy Sané off the team, which, you know, people were saying today when he was left off, well, should we just give the trophy to Germany? You know, it's like, it's incredible the talent this guy is, and he's on Manchester City and they dominate the Premier League and he doesn't make the German national team roster. Players all over, a rising star in Joshua Kimmich, I mean, the names are everywhere. Ozil, Thomas Müller, you mentioned, who has had an up-and-down year for Bayern and is one of the leading scorers in the history of the World Cup. Gangliest guy you'll ever see. Funny-looking guy. Doesn't even look like an athlete if he was walking down the street. Just an innate goal scorer and an amazing soccer player. So the answer to your question is yes, and I think a lot of people would say that.
We're talking to Glenn Davis all about the World Cup coming up. Glenn, let me ask you, I mean, Germany maybe at the top of the heap. What are some of the under-the-radar teams that could become the Cinderella of this World Cup?
Yeah, some dark horses. Okay, so let's talk dark horses. Everybody's in love with the Iceland story, right? They have that clap, and yep, it's a small country that has soccer woven into its fabric. Everybody loves that. They're in Group D with Croatia, Nigeria, and Argentina. I'm picking Argentina and Nigeria, although I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that to me is kind of the group of death, because Croatia is a hard team that has struggled scoring goals, but has players that play on the Barcelonas and Real Madrids. Other dark horses. Peru could be a bit of a dark horse in this. They just got back a guy named Paulo Guerrero, who, if you want good storylines, had been banned because apparently, not to his knowing, he drank some sort of a tea in South America that had traces of cocaine metabolites in it. He got banned. This guy actually reached out to the other teams in his World Cup group, and the captains of those teams, which were France, Denmark, and Australia, basically wrote letters on his behalf because he claims he didn't know this tea was contaminated. He wasn't using it as a stimulant. And he's been reinstated for the time being. So he'll play in the World Cup for Peru. So Peru is one. I think Egypt with a guy named Mo Salah, who's on Liverpool, who just got hurt in the Champions League final when Liverpool lost to Real Madrid. He's expected back in the second game of the World Cup, which is great because that's actually a game I'm calling. So that's going to be a magnificent moment for Egypt. You know, the Croatias of the world, always a challenge. I think England's a bit of a dark horse, too, with a good young team under Gareth Southgate. So I think there's a number of teams that I think could wow. But I think in the end, it's still going to be a traditional soccer country that has won it in the past. One of the big ones will still win it.
We're talking with legend in his own time, soccer legend Glenn Davis. So, Glenn, looking at Group F, it looks like the most difficult group on paper. It's got Mexico, Sweden, Germany are all in that group. Do you think that does end up being the most difficult group to get through?
That definitely is a tough one. My most difficult group is Group H, Colombia, Japan, Poland, and Senegal, because it's a bit of a toss-up to me. That, to me, is the biggest. But that is a tough group as well, and obviously, you know, around the United States, the numbers viewership-wise and listening is going to be ridiculous because Mexico opens with Germany. Korea is obviously the long shot here. Sweden's got to try to play the spoiler in this thing, I think. Their collective, as a group, they knocked Italy out in the playoffs to get to the World Cup. But I think that's a tough group as well. But I think in the end, it's probably Germany and Mexico.
So we're talking to Glenn Davis about the World Cup. Glenn, you know, from my standpoint as a fan, I'm going to root for Mexico in large part because the U.S. isn't in this World Cup. What will it take for the U.S. team to participate in the Cup 4 years from now?
Well, I'm going to say something that a lot of people probably wouldn't like, but I think there's an incredible silver lining in the fact that the United States didn't qualify, because I think it would have been the same old for us. Fight like crazy, probably get to the round of 16, depending on the draw we would have gotten. But fundamental and big changes need to be made in this country, I think, with U.S. soccer. And that means I think it's got to be broken up a little bit. I think there's other very, very influential, visionary people that need to be brought to the table. My fear is it's going to be, to a degree, the same sort of controlling aspect of U.S. soccer. But the good news is, from the team standpoint, a lot of young talent is being used now. And it's going to accelerate the process of getting them opportunities to play in tough environments. In fact, a very young U.S. team is going to play a friendly with France, who's one of the favorites for the World Cup. And they're going to play them, I think, either Friday or Saturday. And it's going to be a remarkable experience for these young, talented kids. So you're hoping to blood them and get them the experience and the opportunities and pressure-filled environments that they need. And then, you know, down the road when the Olympics begin and World Cup qualifying begins for the next World Cup, which will be held in Qatar, then these guys are groomed, as opposed to, you know, their opportunities would be a little bit more limited if, in fact, the U.S. had qualified. So I'm taking the sort of silver lining in the whole thing. Initially was upset like everybody else, but arrogance and a lack of humility, I think, was very costly for the United States. So it was a good kick up the backside, I think.
Very good. Well, Glenn Davis, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Great to get your insights on the World Cup, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you as the Cup unfolds.
Yeah, and David, as I always have said to you, the way you and the station have embraced the sport of soccer and the strength of it globally and locally here in Houston, exceptional. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm not doing anything but being in integrity here. I really do appreciate it. And I think the people of Houston appreciate it, too. They recognize it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you, Glenn. Thanks for joining us here on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Thank you, Glenn.
Bye, guys.
Happy birthday, baby. Though I can't call you my baby, I thought I'd drop a line.
to say. This is the Boss and the Glo—
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on the Boss and the Gloss.
Happy, happy birthday.
Enough with the birthdays. I feel like I'm
it's
aging.
It's never enough.
Every year that
hours.
A song comes on.
Well, I figured we had to do a He Said, She Said happy birthday song for you.
Well, that is.
Look
yes,
at Ron.
That's fair.
He's
okay.
Just nailing it tonight.
Well, we are in the award-winning, highly acclaimed, much-anticipated segment, the He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said across the globe and offer our own insights and analysis of what has been said this week in the world of sports. Notably, we're going to go to a mistake. Now, listen, we're in the business of talking on the air, and not you, Carla, but
let's be clear.
I, every now and then, do make a mistake. So it's always fun when one of our brethren make a mistake. And Mark Kestacher of ESPN was doing the play-by-play at the end of game one. And it was interesting to hear what he had to say. He was fooled by J.R. Smith, who took the rebound and was dribbling it out as if the game was tied. But we all know it was not. Let's hear what Mark Kestacher had to say as the play-by-play analyst for ESPN.
Free throw up. Free throw's going to be short. Rebounded by Smith. 2 seconds to go. He dribbles out. They got a foul. They can't get him. The Cavaliers on the road, stunning the Golden State Warriors in game one. Tied at 107. My bad. Tied at 107.
Oops.
Well, you know, you got to love the my bad. I mean, he just stuck that right in there.
You got to own it.
I think we really, how can anyone fuss at J.R. Smith when the play-by-play announcer didn't even know?
That's right. In fact, Smith's taking a lot more heat this week than the play-by-play guy.
Clearly he is. Wow.
But it is sort of funny because you're, imagine the play-by-play. There's Mark. He's doing his job. And Smith takes the ball to seemingly run out the clock. You just would assume.
Oh, the body language told you everything, that the Cavs had taken it.
Right. So he's sort of calling what he sees, which is what he's paid to do. Unfortunately, he saw something that should not be. Anyway, it's an unfortunate turn of events, both for J.R. Smith and for Mark Kestacher.
And for the Cavaliers.
And for the Cavaliers especially. All right. Speaking of the Cavaliers, well, let's go to LeBron after game one. As you may recall, he was interviewed post-game. And he got into sort of a testy exchange with the media. Let's hear LeBron.
He was still a little salty.
Everybody's reaction to the play at the end with JR getting a rebound. There's still confusion about whether JR thought the game was tied or whether he thought you guys were ahead. From where you stood on the court and from talking to him after the play, what's your reaction to it? What's your version?
What do you mean, what's my version?
Well, did he think that the game was tied, or did he think that you guys had it salted away?
How do I know that?
Or did you discuss it at all with him at the end of the play?
No. They asked me if I talked to JR about it. I said no already. I knew it was a tie game. It was down one. George Hill went up. He made the first one. We got the offensive rebound. You know, I thought we were all aware of what was going on. That's my view, so. I don't know what JR was thinking. I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
I'm just trying to see if you knew exactly what his state of mind was. Did he think that you guys had won, or did he think he was trying to make a play? Not sure.
Maybe I'm not sure. No, I don't know his state of mind.
Did you know if he knew the score? Thank you.
Is that what you're going to tell me at the end of this show? Be better tomorrow?
Be better tomorrow. You can't be any better.
Oh, my goodness. Mark Schwartz, you do you. He was not backing down because LeBron wasn't really answering it.
Nope.
And to credit LeBron, he did not want to throw his teammate under the bus any further than, well, JR is under the bus and the bus keeps riding over him.
Yep.
And LeBron at least took the high road of saying, okay, enough already. But wow, Mark Schwartz did not. He wanted an answer. I don't think we're ever going to get it.
Tough times after game one, just all around.
Wow. You know what surprises me about it? So when LeBron James left that press conference saying, y'all be better tomorrow.
Yes.
He was wearing a short suit, like blazer, you know, tie and shorts.
Is that a good look? Just asking, because I could come into one of those someday.
You know, I've got to get used to it. It's a new phenomenon for me.
I mean, I may not have the legs that LeBron has.
But close.
But I'm in the neighborhood, thank you.
But think about this. If you step out and do that kind of fashion sense and you have that kind of result in a game, are you showing up the next game in another short suit?
No.
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 He did. He showed up game two in yet another short suit.
So no wonder they lost game two.
I'm telling you, I'm a karma person. I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't have messed up that. So.
All right. Well, after game two, Steve Kerr, head coach of the Warriors, got his own moment with the press. And he had this to say, sort of imitating LeBron the day later.
Thank you, Coach.
By the way, I thought you guys were much better today. Good job.
Oh, he's rescuing that media a little bit. They take a beating, don't they?
Well, they do. But it's funny how quickly they got the joke. I mean, they knew exactly what he meant.
Oh, yeah. That didn't take a nanosecond. You've got it.
They'd certainly heard it. All right. Now, we're toward the end of our He Said, She Said segment, and Ron Culver, the producer behind the glass, he has some. Oh, you've got one more to do. We're going to go to Tristan Thompson. Why don't you tee up Tristan Thompson for us, Carla?
So this is after game two last night. Tristan Thompson is being interviewed by a scrum of reporters very close to him who are, obviously Tristan had a rough night last night and nobody could stop Steph Curry as he went on a record-setting 9 three-pointers, the NBA Finals record. And they really wanted to find out from Tristan if he could handle Steph Curry.
No. No. You did a good job. I mean, I'm switching on, I'm guarding him, so. I'm never helpless with no guy in the NBA. Next question.
Thanks, everybody.
Next question was followed by him walking out. So the question was, do you feel helpless against Steph Curry? And, you know, you're questioning a guy's pride right there.
Sure.
And I can't blame the beeps. And, you know, I've always got to put in a beep for you. You like this.
I love the beeps.
But don't question a guy's pride. I don't care what has happened.
Look, he's a competitor. He's an athlete. If you're going to go out and compete, you're going to go out with the attitude that you're going to do your job and you're going to shut down Curry. That's the only mentality you can take.
That's right. And you do the best you can. And when he said next question, he was walking out.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
No, enough is enough.
I give him that. Yeah.
We may have to face the media after this show.
Exactly.
All right, Ron, you've got something for us. Talk to us.
I do. I found this little soundbite today, and this specifically is for Carla.
Oh. Oh, yes. This is good.
And you did allude to it earlier where, you know, me being a Charger fan, you being a Raider fan, I thought you would love to hear from Chargers linebacker Melvin Ingram.
Hmm.
This Super Bowl we're going to win, to be real. And we ain't been to the playoffs in a while. I think it's going to be crazy, man. This Super Bowl we're going to win is going to be, hey, we ready. We grinding. Nah, it ain't added pressure. I was taught you got to speak stuff into existence. If you want to do something, you got to say you're going to go do it, and then you got to go do it. You can't just say, well, we just trying to win a few games. No, that ain't what we're trying to do. We're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, Ron Culver, here's what I'm going to say. I did notice that Melvin mentioned it's going to be a grinder. Well, the grinder is coaching my boys in the black hole. The Gruden grinder. Thank you. We'll see you. We will see you this season.
All right.
Hey, I like his spunk, though.
I do. I do, too.
He's going to speak it into existence. And then somewhere in the midst of his dialogue, he did a, which I always enjoy.
He was kind of like Cardi B. She adds this in the middle of her dialogue.
Well, it seems like every single year there's at least one guy who's guaranteeing a trip to the Super Bowl.
You got to love the moxie.
No, I'm all for it. I mean, he's absolutely right. If you're not playing for the Super Bowl, then what are you playing for?
Right.
You're playing to win a couple of games? No, you want to play to
win or break 500 or whatever it is.
You can't do that.
Look how quickly he slips into defending his Charger.
I have to.
Of course.
He's a Charger fan. That's what he's used to doing.
Charger fans are used to backpedaling.
I don't know if you heard it, but when he first declared it that they were going to win the Super Bowl, I heard a little snickering in the background. I don't know who the people were, maybe the media, but there was a little laughter.
Yeah, his coach.
His coach. All right, you got another one for us.
I do have another one for you, and I know you're probably tired of all the birthday hoopla that we've been doing.
Oh, my gosh. He's loving this. Are you kidding?
You can stop anytime you want.
Okay.
But there is a special someone who wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Really?
Hey, David, this is Pedro from my locker right here. Happy birthday, man. I heard you're a huge fan of the Red Sox and Pedro. So God bless you and have a great birthday. Enjoy your day. Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
Okay, that's so showing off. Pedro Martinez, are you kidding me?
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes, it's very cool. I'm kind of jealous.
I know you want Raleigh Fingers on your birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Any of those swinging A's. Take them all.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pedro Martinez, that's his special one for me. I'm a longstanding Red Sox fan, and he was as good as they get. There was a season or two there where the Red Sox lined up Martinez and Clemens and Derek Lowe. They had a great team. I mean, actually, the best one was, I guess it was Martinez and Schilling and Lowe. They had Tim Wakefield in that lineup or that rotation. They really were elite. And, of course, Red Sox had that breakthrough season to win the World Series in 2004. So he's a special guy. And to get a shout-out from him on my birthday is a real delight.
And apparently thinks you're a special guy, too.
Well,
pretty great.
He was at least willing to stand in front of a camera for 30 seconds and offer me a video.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
The fun thing about him is he's got such spunk to him, right? You could even hear it. I saw the video of that, and he has a big smile on his face. He's always had that big personality that just drew people to him.
And he looks like he's ready to go.
Oh, he does, and he's standing in front of a locker. I love that. He's still got his locker. His name's there. It's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, he may not have the big league stuff anymore, but he probably could, you know, bounce around as minor league teams if he wanted to. And it would just be his choice, too. Like, I just missed the game. I want to go around and start playing. Kind of the same with, what's his name, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
Who's trying to make a comeback.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're never going to make the majors again, but...
But there's a place for him somewhere.
Well, somebody would have said Bartolo Colon couldn't pitch anymore, and he actually kept going for a little while.
So. He still is going.
Yeah, I mean, an amazingly good
big
run
sexy.
Here.
Big Sexy.
Okay, Big Sexy. That is the best name ever.
He is
it
the Big
It just
sexy.
Fits him perfectly. Wow.
Now, wouldn't you say you were naming off the Red Sox pitching lineup? That was pretty much the starting lineup that won the 2004 World Series that did the breakthrough. Where would you compare it? I mean, I try not to belittle your Red Sox a little bit, but, with this current Astros rotation that has just been so dominant.
Well, and that was interesting because Dan Shinen today said he thought this Astros rotation may be the best rotation ever.
Historically.
And, of course, the Orioles in the 70s had a great rotation. The Braves had their great rotations. Yes, those Red Sox with Schilling.
Mulder, Zito, and Hudson with the Oakland A's.
A's had their run. But no, this Astros rotation is a top five rotation all time. It's hard to compare era to era, certainly. But this Astros rotation is really special, and so was that Red Sox rotation. Anyway, this has been great. He said, she said, thank you, Ron, for that birthday wish. When we come back, we will conclude the show as we always do. We're going to take note of what we learned from Carla here on the Boston The Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
You are rocking it up. Listen, this has been a great birthday night. Thank you for all the music. This is actually my favorite section of the show. I get to recite everything that I've learned during the course of the show. And the first thing I'll say is that birthdays can indeed be fun.
There we go.
You guys know how to make it fun. Ron, you did so great. And the second great thing about a birthday is you get Catherine Dawson, not the Gloss, Carla Dawson, but Catherine, the daughter, Mini Gloss, in studio. Catherine, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So the second thing I learned was that you, Gloss, don't want your daughter to go out on a date with Richie Incognito.
Correct. Standing by it.
You're just going to say no.
I want him healed. I want the best for him.
Okay.
But don't touch Mini Gloss.
All right, Mini Gloss, stay away.
The one time I may listen to my mom right off the bat.
There it is.
No, doesn't happen often.
No Incognito for you. Third thing I learned was that you think that look that LeBron does when he
short
wears...
Short suit?
Yeah, well, you call it a short suit. A suit with shorts is what I would have said. But you think it's a good look.
I've got to get used to it. I mean, he pretty much can rock anything. But Draymond had it on, too, yesterday.
Oh, we'll see. It's catching then.
It's catching.
Wait till we start wearing it around the office at SB Nation Radio.
I'm going to tell our listeners, especially our new ones in Knoxville, when you come in a short suit.
I wouldn't even know where to go get a short suit. I'm going to go to Knoxville, Tennessee to our new affiliate. We're so glad our listeners are there in Knoxville. If I come to Knoxville, find me a short suit.
Find me some scissors. I'll get you one now.
Yeah, well, I know. That's the only way I could get a short suit. I've also learned that you think Steph Curry is pretty darn special.
Very special. Transcendent. Changing the NBA.
And we've concluded the most likely destination for LeBron next year.
Philly dog.
He's going to go there, isn't he?
I think so.
LeBron staying in the Eastern Conference, joining the 76ers, and forming a pretty strong team. If Fultz comes on, they are stocked with a big four.
Then we'll see what happens in the GM situation. Don't tweet.
Yeah, they may have to change their GM out. Colangelo is in trouble. I think he's going down with this
one. I think he's going down with his bride, possibly, too.
All right, we covered a lot of ground on my birthday. Special thanks to Pedro Martinez for
Happy birthday. You enjoy this to the fullest.
Thank you, Catherine, Carla, and Ron Culver. You've been listening to The Boston Gloss. Patrick Creighton joining next on SB Nation Radio.